the name of God. Amen. Particularly amongst folk in the church who are interested in liturgy, interested in the shape of our worship, our common worship. For years, there has been a great deal of fussing and hand-wringing about this particular day. This day that our calendar officially calls the Sunday of the Passion, : Palm Sunday. We tend to think of it as Palm Sunday, that the primary focus of this day is the liturgy of the palms, the commemoration of the celebration and uplifting times that accompanied Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Palm Sunday. And of course, the day on which our primary focus is the Passion, Jesus' crucifixion and death, that would be Good Friday. But of course, the practical reality is that many people are not able to attend worship on Good Friday, for whatever reason. So those liturgical folks, not wanting people to miss the story of the Passion, have combined it with Palm Sunday, giving this day an odd sort of split personality, transferring the celebration of the Passion from Good Friday onto this day with the reading of the Passion Gospel that we just heard. But beginning this day with the traditional celebrations of Palm Sunday, the pomp and joy and circumstances of Hosanna, as we remember Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. So we have these two pieces to this day, joined by unfortunate practical necessity. And I have to admit, in the past, I've joined in a bit on that fussing and hand-wringing and that clucking about how we've had to bow to practical necessity and sort of foist the story of the Passion onto Palm Sunday. And yet, as I think about it, at least as I thought about it this year, maybe it's not so bad that we're doing it all today. That in our worship together, in our time together today, we are joining together the story of Palm Sunday and the story of the Passion, Jesus' Passion. Holy Week always has that trajectory, that movement from the triumphal entry through the Last Supper to the Passion. But we've compressed it as we've brought it all together today, so we hold all of it in front of us today. And I think in a way that helps us more clearly to see where we start and where we end up, and to see the scope of the events that are our commemoration this week. Palm Sunday, the events of Palm Sunday start in hope and in triumph. Surely for those who line the streets as Jesus entered Jerusalem, and for us as we commemorate that event. Hope, triumph, confidence. Confidence that this Jesus is going to fulfill all of our worldly expectations. All that we hope for him to be and do is going to be fulfilled. That is how this day begins. And yet, as we continue our worship together today in the reading and the hearing of the Passion Gospel, This day ends in senseless violence, darkness, powerlessness, confusion. We've heard and experienced it all. And perhaps part of this day's message, as we experience that huge range of human emotion and that movement from hope to despair, perhaps part of the message of this day to us, as we currently observe it, both Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday, perhaps part of its message is to remind us that there are days like this. There are days like this in the Christian life. And it's okay for us to experience days like this, or any portion of this day. To make that journey from hope to despair, to live in any midst of the exaltation or the darkness that is the fullness of this day, anywhere within that spectrum, is a part of the Christian story. And to find ourselves in the midst of this day doesn't mean that we are faithless or bad Christians. Remember, at the end of this day, Easter is still a long ways off. And although we may feel that we are supposed to be Easter people every day, and I've been told that I was supposed to preach Easter every day, in my own experience, every day is not Easter. And this Sunday of the Passion, this Palm Sunday, shows us that all of that range of human emotion and experience is a part of Jesus' own story. And to find ourselves in the midst of this day doesn't mean we're bad Christians, it means we're human beings, as was Jesus. Jesus lived all of the stories of this day, from the triumphant entry to the darkness and violence of death on the cross. Jesus lived all of the stories of this day. So this day, in its fullness, is a part of the Christian story. Jesus has walked this road, every step of this road, every moment of this day, Jesus has walked and experienced in the past, and the living Christ walks it with us today. This day shows us that Jesus shares and understands the full range of human experience, from hope and triumph through despair to death. Jesus shares and understands every aspect of human experience. The reading that we have from Philippians reminds us of the fullness of Jesus' human experience. The writer of this letter says that Jesus did not count being God as something to be cherished or exploited, but emptied himself and was born a human being, one who fully understands and shares all of human experience. And that's what we know today. And that's a lot. That's a lot to hang on to, that Jesus knows and shares fully all of human experience. Jesus knows and shares. And the living Christ walks with us and shares the fullness of our own human experience, whatever it may be. This may seem off topic, but it isn't. I've recently been watching the Father Brown Mysteries. Some of you may have seen them. I missed them as they were originally broadcast. I don't remember why. I think in Illinois they were on too late at night for me. Typical British BBC mysteries. The detective is Father Brown, a Roman Catholic priest, based on a character originally developed by G.K. Chesterton, although these are new stories that have been turned into the television series. Father Brown is a lot of fun. He's quite the sleuth. He's also very serious as a Catholic priest. And one of the recurring plot elements, Father Brown goes alone again and again in different episodes, in the midst of different mysteries. Father Brown goes alone to visit the person whom he has determined is the murderer, often someone who has committed violent murder. Father Brown goes alone to visit them, usually to urge them to repentance. But when he goes alone, the murderer often says, "You should not have come alone. Are you not afraid? You should not have come alone." And Father Brown simply and sincerely replies, "I am a man of God. I am never alone." Even in the context of this fictional TV series, I am struck every time that scene plays itself out again. I am a man of God. I am never alone. We are people of God. We are never alone. This day shows us that Jesus has experienced and shares every aspect of our human life and accompanies us throughout every journey, every experience that is a part of our human existence. We are people of God. We are never alone. Even on those days when Easter seems like it is a very long way off, even on those days. As this Passion Sunday ended, Easter was hardly on the horizon. But never think that Easter is the only place where Christ is to be found. We are people of God. We are never alone. We are accompanied, cared for, blessed, and loved. Every day, even on the days when we can't even imagine Easter, we are never alone.